to the Amateur Opinions Fantasy Show. It's your host, Easy. Deuce is not available for this game week, but it's all good. I'm going to hold you guys down for game week two. We're going to try to be consistent this season. Last season was a little bit tough with the pandemic and us doing this format of the podcast for the first time. So it was a little bit of trial and error from our end. We got a little bit inconsistent towards the end. I think by game week 20, we weren't recording anymore. But this season, we really want to push and just bring you guys content. A lot of the times, if both of us weren't available, we wouldn't record, such as today. But from now on, we're going to try and record, even if you are hearing from just myself with Clint Deuce. But yeah, that being said, let's get into it. Fantasy game week two. I think it's fair to say that most people had a very good game week one, right? The average was 69 points. 69 points, which is quite high. That's the average. A lot of people I saw, a lot of the leagues that I'm in, people getting 90 plus points. Quite a few people getting over 100. I personally, I got 112 points. So it was a good week for me. How that came about was I had Benrahma, Son, Antonio, Salah, Fernandes, and Ings. So I think Son really pushed me up a notch in terms of getting above most people. Most people had very similar teams, but Son was my differential in that game week. So he helped me out quite a bit there. Defensively, I had Trent Alexander-Arnold. I had Tsimikas from Liverpool, 4 million, standing in for Robertson. So he was also quite helpful. I also had Shaw and White, who blanked from Arsenal, and Sanchez in goals. Now, when I put my team together, I did have the first couple of game weeks in mind. So I personally didn't make any changes. The only change that I made was a guy who's sitting on my bench, Perica, who was, I think he was sold. Yeah, he was sold from Watford. So he's a 4.5 million striker. But I didn't plan to make a sale in this game week. And I don't think most people should. If you set up your team, if you planned correctly and you had game weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 in mind, I don't think anything happened in game week 1 that should change your plans. So, for example, if you had City players, yes, they blanked. I don't think you get rid of them. They're now playing Norwich. And going into game week 1, you probably wouldn't be mad, or you wouldn't be far off if you would, like, you wouldn't be upset if they blanked, or if somebody told you they're going to blank, but they'll do maybe, or they'll get maybe 4 or 5 goals in game week 2 against Norwich, and I mean City as a team. You could see that happening, right? So let's not panic. In the same way that if Son wasn't in your plan for these first 2 weeks, I wouldn't bring him in because of what he did in game week 1. I had budgeted for Son to blank, and he got me points, you know? So if Son blanks in game week 2, I'll take it, because I got my 10 points in game week 1 that I wasn't expecting from him. And if anything, I'm expecting good returns from him in game week 3. So that's just a little bit of where I'm at with this game week. Personally, I'm not going to be making any substitutions. I don't think most people should. Even if you have Sancho, for example. I know a lot of people have Sancho and they're shipping him out. Don't think there's any reason to do that. If you think, like, let's see what happens. We know that Sancho is going to get into the rotation. Give it time. Give it time is what I'd say. But anyway, I digress. I'm going to continue with the structure of the show. As you know, me and Deuce, we like to talk about defenders, midfielders, and then we finish off with forwards and finally captain choices. So let's do that. And obviously, I think for this season, I'll talk about the coming game week, but I definitely want to have a little bit of a longer term view, because I think that was the mistake I personally made last season. A lot of my decisions were game to game. And this season, I'm trying an approach of looking 2, 3, 4 game weeks ahead and trying to plan my moves, which is ideally how you should be playing the game. Cool. So let's start with defenders. So the first defender that I want to talk about is Tsimikas from Liverpool. As you guys may know, Robertson's injured, so he's filling in for him. Comes in at $4 million, which is a bargain. If you didn't have him in game week one, this is the one transfer where I'd say, I think this is a good one to make. His price has gone up by the time I'm recording this, but if you didn't have him, I think that's the one. Firstly, if I had spoken to you before game week one, I would have told you to have him in your team. But if you didn't get him, I'd say get him now, because he frees up a lot of funds in your team until Robertson gets back. You know, he really makes it a bit more flexible in terms of how you can spend. So for me, I would actually say that that's the one transfer that I would really highly recommend. More so than, let's say you don't have Bruno, you don't have Salah. If that wasn't your plan, you can live with it. But Tsimikas, I think, just offers a lot of value in your squad. So that's definitely someone that I'd be looking at. They're playing Burnley at home. It's going to be a packed Anfield Stadium. I really like it. And like I said, $4 million is a good price. On that note of $4 million, we had a couple of defenders who started. We had three defenders who played 90 minutes at $4 million, which is quite exciting. So we had Duffy from Brighton. Let me just check my notes here. We had Duffy from Brighton. We had Amati from Leicester. And we had Livramento, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Southampton. So I'm going to be watching these three players, because that could be even more value. Like, it's hard to say if these guys will play, but if we could have guys at $4 million that are going to be getting minutes in for us, I think that really frees up the rest of our team, especially going forward when Chelsea's fixtures start to ease up and we start looking at a Lukaku, or maybe Kane is fit again and we're also thinking about that. These defenders would really offer us a good option. Would I bring them in this game week? No. Like I said, Tsimikas is the guy that I think you should be bringing in, if anything. A lot of people I saw a lot of people getting Marcus Alonso in their teams. I'm not a fan of that move. I'm just going to read out Marcus Alonso's next fixtures. Just bear with me here, guys, while I take a look at who he has coming up. So let's see. So Marcus Alonso has Arsenal, Liverpool, then he goes to Villa, Tottenham, then he has Man City. Those are not great fixtures. You know, and I know he scored and it was a free kick and people got excited, but how frequently is he going to score from free kicks? How often does anyone score from free kicks? And yes, he's on them. That's great. But for 5.5, I just think Luke Shaw is the better option. So if you're going to double up, I think that's a bit too much. That's 11 million. If you have both Shaw and Marcus Alonso that you're spending on two defenders, which is a bit much. So Luke Shaw for me just seems like the better option. And he's now 5.5. Marcus Alonso's gone up to 5.6. So that's where I would spend that that money. Even though Luke Shaw, he only got 1 point in the last fixture, for me, still the better option. We look at his fixtures. He's playing Southampton, Wolves, Newcastle in the next 3 weeks. Then West Ham, then Aston Villa, then Everton. And then in game week 8, he plays Leicester. So those are a lot of games where I can see him getting a clean sheet. I can easily see Luke Shaw getting 3 or 4 game clean sheets in the first 8 weeks of the season. Things get tough for him in game week 9. Because in game week 9, he goes to Liverpool, Tottenham, City. So that's probably the game week where we might ship Luke Shaw and get other options and free up some funds. So for now, I think Luke Shaw is a really good option at 5.5. Eric Dier at Spurs, really not too sure what Spurs are going to bring about. But yeah, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I'm personally a fan. I think he offers a lot going forward. And with Robertson out, I think it's an easy decision. He's almost like a midfielder. Just a quick note on the City defenders. I personally am not too keen on them just because of the Pep roulette. But if you do have any, so for example, if you have Cancelo or maybe Diaz, I think they're probably going to get you returns against Norwich if they play. So yeah, that's that on defenders. I think just to wrap up, get Tsimikas into your team. let's move over to the midfield now. With the midfield, I'm going to start with the City players. The reason I'm starting with the City players is City have quite a favorable fixture this week. So City playing Norwich at home. I expect goals there. I really do expect a lot of goals. City, after that, they then play Arsenal in game week 3. And then they play Leicester, which is also a tough game. And then they play Brighton. Not so bad. Then they play Chelsea. So City have quite a tough run of fixtures, you know, playing both Chelsea, Arsenal, and Leicester. So I think it's going to be quite a tough run for them, which is why I don't like their defenders so much. But not only is it a tough run, and I'm not even worried about City dropping points in these games, I think it's just the rotation and how are all these pieces going to fit together. Now, Mahrez is the one guy I'd say is a short deal. Mahrez is a short deal, so if I was going to get a City player, it would be him. De Bruyne, I'm worried about his fitness. We know De Bruyne will give us returns throughout the season, long term, but in the first 4 or 5 weeks, the combination of tough fixtures and not knowing how fit he is and the rotation of Pep, I'm skipping out on De Bruyne. And for now, same thing goes with Sterling. Just, I think he's really expensive for a player who we don't know is going to play or not. I mean, he played in game week 1, but will that continue? I just think it's, you just rather go for Salah and Bruno at that price because you know that they will get returns and you know that it's guaranteed minutes and easy fixtures for both of them. I'm digressing away from the City players, so let me bring it back. Jack Grealish. That's going to be interesting. We know what he can do. He's a baller. But how does he fit in the City team and how is it going to work? I want to see that first before I commit. That being said, though, I really think these guys possibly are going to give us high returns this season. It's just, I am not willing to take that risk. But for those of you who are willing to play the game of Pep Roulette, I think you could be rewarded. If you are going to do it, I'd probably say Mahrez is my bet. He had a really good chance against Spurs that he should have put away. So Mahrez is probably my option that I would choose if you are going to bring in a City player. I think he had a expected goals of like 0.5 or something from the Spurs game, so which is quite high. So just because he blanked didn't mean he wasn't, you know, effective in the game. And if he gets another chance like that in the Norwich game, he's probably putting that away. So I would probably bring Mahrez in. And I also think he's a good captain choice. If you want like a really strong differential, most people are probably going to go with Bruno. So I think that wraps it up with City defenders. Cool. What else do we got here? Son. Son's an interesting one. So for Son was a medium-term play for me. I did have Son in my team. I didn't have him for the first 2 game weeks because I knew he was playing City and then he was playing Wolves. So he's playing Wolves this coming week. And with Son, like I said, he did give me returns in game week 1, but I would have been fine if he blanked. The real returns that I'm expecting from away, I really thought he would do well, is against Watford in game week 3. And then in game week 4, he has Crystal Palace away. And then in game week 5, it's Chelsea. So that will be quite a tough one. And then in game week 6, it's Arsenal. I don't see Arsenal keeping a clean sheet against Spurs. And then it's Aston Villa. So some favorable fixtures. Then he has Newcastle after that, you know. After Newcastle, it's West Ham. So these are favorable fixtures. And on top of that, with all this Kane drama, I knew that Kane, Son would be playing down the middle, which means that he will be involved in the attack. Because of how heavily involved he was last season, I know that Sonny Boy is going to be involved in Spurs going forward. And I don't see Spurs not getting goals. I think they'll be able to get behind teams. It'll be interesting to see, do they play on the counter? Do they sit deep? Those are all things that we want to see. But for me, Son is a little bit of a long-term option because I think he can get returns. And he's really capable of, I mean, he's got returns in his hardest game probably of the first 9-10 weeks of the season. So hopefully it's only upwards from here. So I do have Son. If you're thinking of getting Son, I wouldn't bring him in this week. I'd bring him in Game Week 3 when they play Watford. So I wouldn't do it now. So he's a good option. Salah and Bruno, I'm not even going to waste too much time on them. Most of us have both. If you don't have both, again, not a train smash. I mean, if you have one of them and a City player, I would say I would hope that Mahrez is the option. But yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on Salah and Bruno. I'll talk more about them when we get to captain decisions. Then an important part of the midfield is, I think, the budget midfielders. So the guys from maybe 7.5 downwards, you know, so that's guys like Barnes, Saar for Watford, Rafinha at Leeds, Benrahma at West Ham. So yeah, these are guys who we, and for me, these are long-term guys because they can give us value, you know, fill up that squad, and we can expect points from them every second to third game week. I've personally gone for Benrahma. He had a good preseason, and a lot of chatter around the West Ham faithful was that he was going to be taking up that role of what Jesse Lingard was doing, and Lingard did really well. So yeah, I saw a couple of highlights of him preseason. He looked good, had a good game in game week one. So he's staying in my team. Happy I did that. Rafinha. Yeah, I mean, decent fixtures, you know. So he's playing Everton, Burnley, Liverpool. Then he goes to Newcastle, then West Ham, then Watford, then Southampton, then Wolves, then Norwich. So those are decent fixtures. I think it's going to be a case of, how does he look in comparison to Benrahma? I think I'll be keeping my eye on those. I'm very happy to make the switch between those two. I think in game week one, all of us are somewhat guessing, you know, Benrahma, Rafinha. Although he was playing against United, so maybe Benrahma was the better option for game week one. But long term, it's hard to say which of the two will be better. Another kid that I'm watching from Watford is Saar. He got a goal in the first game week, and I think he may have got an assist. So he's someone that I'll also be, you know, checking out, just seeing how he's doing. If he's a good option, maybe we bring him in long term. Maybe he's a short term option. Who knows? But yeah, okay, he just got the goal. So yeah, Barnes, not the greatest start, but I think in Benrahma, there's a lot more value for money, just given how affordable he is. I think Barnes comes in at about 7 or 7.5. And let me actually just check to make double sure, because I wouldn't want to mislead you guys here. But let's see here. Let's go Leicester. Really tough doing this stuff but on your own. But yeah, we're surviving. We're in here. So Barnes comes in at 7 million. Benrahma's 6. Now he's 6.1. So it's a million saving for two players that I think are like for like. And in that option, I'm always going to go with the cheaper option. Cool. So yeah, last two midfielders I want to talk about is Sancho and Pogba. I would hold out on Pogba. He got 4 assists. That was crazy. He's probably never going to get that many assists in his United career again. And then with Sancho, if you do have him, I wouldn't panic. I would wait it out. Maybe sell him in the next game week if he still doesn't start. But I'd hold on, because I think Sancho comes in at, if he's going to put in the numbers that he did at Dortmund, right? And he's coming in at, let's just see here. Where is Sancho? It's 9.4 now. He's gone down from 9.5. But at 9.4, if he's going to be getting anywhere from 10 to 15 assists and maybe 10 goals, he's going to be someone we all want in our team. And at 9.5, that's a really good price. That's, you know, better value. Well, yeah, his value, I think, would be a lot better than what a Sterling would give you or a De Bruyne, etc., if he's going to put in the numbers that he had at Dortmund. So if you do have him and that was your play for the long term, maybe hold on to him because the returns may come for you very quickly. But I'd maybe hold on for a game week or so and then move on. But then again, his price did drop, so you might want to save on that 0.1 million. It's a bit too late now if you have him. But yeah, I don't think he'll stay at 9.4 for too long. I definitely think if you keep him, that you'll get that money back. Cool, let's finish up with the forwards. I have Danny Ings, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he's the most owned forward in the game. Now, that's, I do have him, so that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about him. And let me just double check or confirm that he is indeed the most owned player in the game. And yeah, he is. So 38.2% of managers have him in their side. What was worrying for me is that he scored a penalty very late in the game, in game week one. Expected goals of zero for the match. So expected goals is just a metric that looks at the chances you had and says how many goals would have, you know, should you have scored given the chances you had. So he expected goals of zero. Expected assists, same thing, same concept. Expected assists of zero. So, and that's without penalties. If you include the penalties, his expected goals is 76%, and that 76% is the expected goals for a penalty shot. So he only scored the penalty, and that concerns me. That concerns me that he's not making chances. I'm worried about that. You know, I'm more convinced by Mahrez, who had an expected goals of 0.5, even though he don't score. I would be happier if I owned Mahrez and he blanked than I am with Ings, who didn't blank. He got his goal, but not getting chances. So that's concerning. And I'll be watching that, because for 8 million, we could get in guys like Richarlison. We could get Calvert-Lewin in there. So, yeah, just something to look out for me. Another forward that I wanted to talk about is Antonio. Another transfer that I think I'd recommend to most people is probably get Antonio in. He looks good. But with the strikers, we're going to have to wait and see. You know, there's so many options. I saw some people had brought in Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin. I will personally be watching those two to see how they do. And then some of you guys have Tony from Brentford. I wouldn't bring him in. I wouldn't sell him. Same with Callum Wilson. I wouldn't bring him in. I wouldn't sell him. I would just watch the performance. Same thing goes for Bamford. Lukaku. I just wanted to bring up Lukaku because, yes, he might do well against Arsenal, but can you afford him and all the other premium options? And Chelsea's fixtures are tough. What I will say is Lukaku, game week 7, that is probably the play for me. So from game week 7, he plays Southampton, Brentford, Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley, Leicester. That's a stretch of 6 games where Lukaku could really rack up some points. So I'm going to hold out on Lukaku for now, at least for the first 4, 5, 6 game weeks, and maybe bring him in at that stage in the season. Cool, let's wrap this up with captains. I've been going on for way too long. Captains, I'm going Salah. He's at home. It's Burnley. Yeah, people say he has a bad record against them. I don't know if... I just don't think that's going to decrease his chances of doing well tomorrow. So I'm definitely going with Burnley. Bruno's always a good option. I think a lot of people are going to captain him after he did what he did in game week 1. But, I mean, I made this decision 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Before game week 1, I knew that Salah would be my captain for this first 2 game weeks. I don't like flip-flopping because I hate the anxiety of, did I make the right decision and whatnot. So I personally am making that decision. Boom, it's done. If you are going to go with Bruno, doesn't hurt. I mean, United had a good away form last season. We really did have a good away form last season. So not a bad move. However, that being said, this is how I look at it. If I make Salah captain and he blanks, I can really live with it. I won't be mad at myself. But if I make Bruno my captain and he blanks and Salah does well, I'll really be upset with myself because that was the obvious move. So I'm going to go with the move that will help me sleep at night. I might be wrong, but I'll be okay. I'll just look back and say, you know what, I probably would have done that again. So I'm not mad at that. Cool, guys. Let us know what you think. Please check out, you know, our content that will be coming out weekly with each game week. Currently putting out one episode a week. It might be more. Maybe we'll be doing reviews after the game week. Thanks for listening. These were my amateur opinions. And take it easy.